Amen. It sure is good to see this number out this morning and good to feel the little bit warmer weather out there. The sun makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? I told Brother J.W., and when we came in, I said, I didn't know 29 could feel so good, but I'll take it. That's all right. Boy, it sure is good to be here this morning and see all of you. Again, good to see this number. If you're visiting with us, please make yourself at home. It's good to see my friend Danielle with us this morning. Glad that she's here. She works in real estate. It's good to see her, and it's good to see all of you. I'm just so thankful that you're here, and kind of got a little runny nose this morning, but I'm not sick or anything. And talking to Brother Finley, he said he wasn't sick either. He said as you get older, you kind of got to let the pipes, keep the pipes running so you don't freeze up, and he said that's what that is. So there you go. Just like you do at home, just let the pipes run a little bit so you won't freeze over. Amen. I'll take that, but it's good to be here, isn't it? Praise the Lord, it's good to be here. I feel just His amazing presence, and I couldn't be more thankful for that. And just looking at the study, and I'm thankful how the Lord will guide us and how He will lead us in His Word if we're willing to look into it. If we're looking for Him, I promise you, you will find Him. I've never seen anybody look for the Lord sincerely with all their heart and not find Him. Never. Never found an instance in the Bible. What it does say, though, seek Him early while He may be found. So the Bible does say that. But let's turn to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. I want to look at a unique account here. There's this chapter here kind of kicks off a few different conversions in the next few chapters. But I love reading about conversions in the Bible, about how people accepted Christ. I love, Sister Karen, I love reading about that. I love hearing about it in church. I love listening to people tell their testimony about the day they got saved and how they accepted Christ. That does something for me. That never gets old. You know, my testimony in and of itself never gets old to me. I have to use that from time to time. Do you? Old devil ever get around you and say, I don't think you got it. You have a time and a place that you can go back to and say, hey, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I can take you right back here and I can show you. I said, really, you think you got it? I said, yeah. Did what the Bible told me to do. Trusted the Lord in faith. I asked Him to save me. You know what He did? Haven't been lost since. You can't undo what God does. I want you to know that. I want you to know once He has saved you and sealed you, you've got it. Doesn't make you infallible. Doesn't make you perfect, but it makes you saved. Should make you want to live a good life for the Lord. Should make you want to do those things. It should. It's part of good testimony. But this morning, I just want to look at a few things about how God works. Wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you like to know this morning? If somebody could tell you how God works, wouldn't you like to know that? This is not a secret. That's kind of been the theme here lately this year. The secret is, there is no secret. I've kind of held on to that a lot the last few weeks, but there is no secret to how God works. If you will watch in His Word how he deals with people, it's the same over and over and over. Different people might have a different place, a different time in their life when they met the Lord. They might have different circumstances, but the salvation is common. How it happens is common. How you got saved is how I got saved, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the common salvation. That's how it is. Now, your life will run different than mine. Mine will be different than yours and what have you. Different age groups or different ages, that doesn't matter. But the salvation and how it happens is absolutely common. It's the same. There's the same things. There's the same ingredients that apply. And you'll see that here this morning. I like this, and I don't know if I've preached on this here at Mount Lebanon or not, but I have preached along these lines before. Love preaching along these lines about the Ethiopian eunuch. How many of you heard about him? Most people would probably say yes. I've heard about him. I've read about him. I kind of know maybe where you're going with this or what have you, but maybe, maybe not. This might be the first time you heard it, but I tell you, it's a blessing to me. And I can identify with how he met the Lord because I can give you some testimony how it was the same for me. We'll start here in Acts chapter 28, verse 26. Look at verses 26 through 38 this morning. And we start off and it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Take note of that. He came to Jerusalem to worship. He went there for a purpose. He went there. But on his return, it says here, verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him, and read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he had read this, was led a sheep by the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Look at verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let's pray together, church. Father, we thank you so much this morning for this day that you've given to us, Lord, the beautiful weather. Just the blessing to be here together, to see everyone here, God, and just know that our paths have crossed for a reason, and you've placed everybody here. Lord, just like in your word, just like we read here, Lord, that you sent Philip to a certain place to speak to a certain man, God, and he was there, God, and there was some guidance that was needed, some help that was needed, Lord, and we see how that was delivered. All led by the Spirit, all through the Word of God, with help by the man of God. Just the ingredients, Lord, that you have placed, the way you have chosen to help people, God, to lead people to Christ, Lord, in conversion and discipleship, Lord, and mentorship, God. It's all right here. God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your precious Word. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, what he done for us on the cross. God, I just pray that you make it plain here this morning, Lord, all hearts, all minds, God, Lord, I pray that they would be focused on you this morning, God. Those that are lost, God, that would come to you, Lord, just come to you in repentance, God, this morning, that they'd seek after you like never before, Lord, that nothing would hinder. God, I pray that you bind the devil, keep him away, God, that nothing would hinder this service, Lord. We pray for your will so often. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God, and I just pray that there would be no quenching in any way this morning, Lord, that your will would be done. Help us, Lord. Guide my mouth. Help me, God, to say everything the way you'd have me to. Lord, preach the way that you'd have me to. God, it's just that important. Souls are at stake, God. God, I thank you so much for all that you do for us, Lord. I pray you go with us. Help us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I really enjoy watching this unfold and how you see everything come together. It's kind of neat when you can sit back behind the scenes and watch this come together after you've read it, and you know what happens. You see how things progress. You kind of know, but it's like a movie that you've seen before, but you like to watch it again. You kind of know what's going to happen next, but you're still excited anyway. It's kind of that way today when you see how salvation works in the heart of believers or unbelievers, how salvation works, and they come to seek after Christ, and then they start asking questions, and they get to the place that they want to accept Christ. You see how it just comes together the same way. It's like watching the same movie with different characters, and it's a blessing every single time. Never gets old. I love watching people come down to the front to ask God to save them. You say, hey, this didn't happen in the church. It didn't, but you're going to see the same three ingredients. You're going to see the same three regardless of what it takes and how it works, how God chose it to be. You want to know how God works this morning? I'll tell you simply how God works. God, He uses the Spirit of God, leads the man of God with the Word of God. That's how it works. The Spirit of God leads the man of God with the Word of God. That's how it works. And you know what usually comes out after that? The Son of God. Somebody that's accepted Him. That's the ingredients of how it works. The simplicity that is in Christ, it's not a hard thing, but it's something that has to be understood. You see, you're going to see that here this morning, how the eunuch, how he had some questions, verse 26, and it said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." You see here, that is the Spirit of God moving on somebody's life. That is the Spirit of God placing somebody where they need to be to do the work that God has called them to do. You know, it's amazing. There might be somebody out there somewhere that is seeking for help and needing some help, and they don't know exactly where to go. But you know, if they start praying for that help, I promise you, God will send somebody to them. I've never seen it fail. And you know what else? What else happens too? And if the person don't go there, he might lead that person to go where they can get help and show them where they need to be. That's why I say it's no mistake that anybody's here this morning. You're here for a reason. God called you to be here. Isn't that something? You should say, "Praise the Lord! God is working in my life. That's amazing. That's nothing short of amazing that He's placed you here. That the Spirit of God is moving and He wants to move in your life." That is how God works. He's telling Philip, you know, Philip probably didn't have a clue. Philip had experienced a lot of things. He saw his friend Stephen stoned to death for preaching the gospel. He went down and having such an amazing time of revival. And guess what? God called him out of the revival and said, "I got somewhere else for you to go." He's like, "But I'm having fun here. Revival's breaking out here. I don't want to leave." He said, "I got somewhere for you to be." See, this is when the Lord, back in that time, when He'd just take somebody and snatch them up, put them somewhere else. Kind of amazing, isn't it? I want to tell you this. Being a part of the ministry is an exciting work to be a part of. There's nothing else like it. Nothing else like it. See somebody accept Christ. See somebody choose to live for the Lord. There's nothing like seeing that and taking part in that. Nothing like it. But you see how the Lord pulled him away and said, "Go here." And what did Philip do? And he arose and he went. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship." He gone down there to worship. Wouldn't that kind of make you think, Brother Terry, maybe he was a believer? You know, that's kind of what you think. You think, well, only believers go to church. You know, there's believers that don't go to, there's non-believers that go to church too. I think he was seeking something. I think he was looking for something. Well, didn't he find it in Jerusalem? Maybe not. I guess not. He went there to worship. He was doing the right things. I believe by the position that he held, he was probably an educated person. He had the physical needs that he needed. The fact that he had a chariot meant that he had money. He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia, Candace here. He was the queen, or the treasurer for the queen. You see how that's a big role that he held. You see, he went. He was looking for something. You see, I want you to know something. If you break it down just a little bit at a time, you see, when Philip was called to go there, he had no idea all that. He had no idea. He just knew the Lord said, "You go here." And he said, "I'll go. You go here." He had no idea. I say that to say, when you start thinking about discipleship, mentoringship, the importance of being a mature Christian is you've got to be ready. When the Lord says move, just move. Just follow Him. Just trust Him. Don't say, "Lord, what? Don't. Just go. It is amazing how God will give you what to say once you get where He has sent you to be or what you need to do. It's amazing He'll do that. If it wasn't you, if He didn't want to use you, He'd use somebody else and He'd give them the words to say. But guess what? He chose you. In this instance, He chose Philip. Philip was being obedient. Philip was listening. He said, "I will go." And he goes. And he sent him down there. But you see, on the other side, he didn't know what he was going there for. There was a man that needed something, and Philip had not yet learned that. And you see here, he was returning, verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. He's sitting in his chariot reading. He was reading the word of God. Now, that was a little bit different then. You didn't pick out your Bible and sit there in your vehicle, your chariot in that point in time, and roll something out like, or pull something like this out to read. You had to roll out a scroll. That was a big deal. And he wasn't driving and reading, by the way. He had enough money. He had somebody driving for him, but he had something on his mind. He left Jerusalem. He left down there to worship or take part of a service, and he was on the way back, but he still had questions. Still had things on his heart. You know how many times I've left church when I was a young lost person? How many times I left church, I still had things on my mind. I'd gone to church, and you say, you went to worship. Well, I went because mom and dad took me. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord you're here. But you know, there's a lot of times I went home and I still had questions. I'd get out the Word of God and I'd read and I'd ask questions and start asking questions. Isn't it a beautiful thing, a precious thing, when your kids start asking you questions about salvation? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's a good thing. That means the Lord is working in their heart. That means the natural progression is taking place after you've been around and you've been moved by the Spirit of God and you get around the Word of God, then you're going to start having some questions. That's how it works. And that's okay. You see, I don't know how close it was that Philip started putting things together, but I'd say it's probably right about here. He said he was returning, the eunuch was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, you see there he is again, the Spirit. You ever think about how the Lord is dealing with you, what the Lord might be telling you, what he might be asking you to do, how he might be working in your life, what he wants from you? You ever feel that? Like, Lord, why all this in my mind? Why all this in my heart? What do you want me to do? You sincerely ask him, he'll tell you. He'll give you explicit instruction on what to do. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You see, Philip shows up. He's down here and he shows up. He says, I'm here, Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He said, you go near that chariot. You go near to that. You say, you think that's how that happened? I know that's how it happened. Has the Lord ever jumped up in your chariot with you? I don't drive a chariot. What do you drive? The Lord ever hop in the car with you? I'm going to tell you something. I remember a time, and Dad had a part in this. I remember a time that I was doing what I wanted to do. I was on my path. I was riding down the road in my chariot. But Dad said, hey, you take this CD and you listen to it. I was like, what is it? He said, just listen to it. I said, okay, I will. And I don't know how much time had passed from when he'd give it to me or not, but that morning I said, okay, I'll put it in. I was on the way to work, minding my own business. Doing what I wanted to do, what I was supposed to do. I was a cop. It's good work. Nothing wrong with that. And I was riding along in my chariot. Guess what? I put that CD in and I was thinking about my life and what God had planned for me and what I wanted to do. More so than what I wanted to do. That's what I was thinking. I was riding down the road and I was coming up 105, cresting the top of Rock Crusher Hill, and I was listening to Brother John Googe, and he was preaching a message. Whose meal is in your barrel? Whose meal is in your barrel? And you know, in my time of life, I had a lot of questions. I was a young parent, had been married too long, and a son on the way, and everything like that. All this was going on, and I was thinking, man, I don't know that I can run off of what I've got and what I'm doing. As Brother John Googe preached, he talked about the widow and how Elisha, he came and he brought the meal and how the meal was prepared and how he handled everything. And you know what I realized in that moment? The Spirit of God had sent the man of God to be with me in my chariot in that moment. Isn't that something? Have you ever been there? I want to tell you, that's how God works. That's how he works. You'll see these three things. You know what? You know what the man of God was doing? He's preaching the Word of God. You see, you mean to tell me that you got an answer to a prayer about surrendering to preach from when a man was preaching about how Elisha went to a widow woman who was running low on what she had, and all of a sudden you learn through that if you turn your life over to him, you'll never run out of what you need? That's what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Isn't that amazing? Nothing short of amazing how God can turn our lives and how He can twist things around and bring things to where they're supposed to be, and you never see it coming. Never see it coming. We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit. You know, we pray for things to happen sometimes, and we pray, and sometimes we might get negligent of that prayer, and the Lord will answer it anyway. And you look back, and you think, man, I'm ashamed that I wasn't still praying for this. Thankful God in His mercy answered it anyway. But I quit praying because I lost hope, thinking it wouldn't happen. Isn't it amazing how the Lord shows up anyway? How He'll do things for us anyway? But you see here, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. I want to tell you this morning, I'm thankful that the Lord showed up in my chariot. I want you to know that this morning. I'm thankful to be here this morning. Wouldn't rather be anywhere else in the entire world this morning, but here with you today. And it says right here, verse number 30, and Philip, he ran thither. He wanted to see what the Lord was going to do next. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him, and he read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He heard what he was reading. He's reading out loud. You know, that's a good thing. I don't do that enough. When I'm by myself and studying, I don't read it out loud enough, but that's exactly what he was doing. He was really trying to understand what he was reading. A person is audio and then visual and what have you, and what he was trying to do. He was reading it, but he wanted to hear it also. And the Spirit of the Lord said to the man of God, he said, you go draw yourself. You get next to that chair. And he got up next to it and he started listening to what he was saying. What am I getting myself into here? What are we doing here? And you see, he started reading, or he heard what he was reading. See, that's not where Isaiah 53 starts, by the way. He had been reading there for a little bit enough that his mind was intrigued about what he was hearing. He was trying to put things together. He wanted to know the who of this scripture. You see, that's what changes things. You know, you can hear the gospel. You can hear it. And in your mind, you can logically say, yes, okay, but what the Lord is asking you to do is believe it in your heart. Take it from here and place it in here. That's what He's wanting you to do. That's the importance of it. I've learned a lot of things that I haven't done. I've learned things. I've read in the book, if you do these certain things, then you can expect this outcome, but that doesn't mean that I've done it. But I tell you what, when you start piecing these things together, and by faith you do it, it changes your life. That's how you accept Christ. That's how you step out on faith to Christ. And it said right here, Philip ran thither unto him, and he heard him, and he read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest what thou readest. Look at verse number 31. I got this one underlined. He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? How could I understand unless somebody would guide me? You might be here this morning and say, man, this guy's crazy. Up there yelling and hollering, shouting around, acting fool like he's all excited. But guess what? I want you to see something right here. Romans chapter 10, 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's part of the ingredient. You're not going to have faith without hearing the word of God. That's how it comes. Well, you got the Spirit of God. You got the Word of God, but what are you lacking? The man of God. I said, preacher, you're putting yourself... I'm not putting myself up there. I'm telling you, this is the importance. This is the ingredients that God prescribed and put together. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 18 through 21. I'll read this to you this morning. It says this right here. Think about how the Lord put this together. How God put this together. You think about this. You think about the world today. Somebody on the outside, non-believer, doesn't believe, doesn't understand this morning, how they might perceive a situation like this. What is this? But it says here, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, or for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those who don't believe, this is foolish to a non-believer. Somebody to get up and proclaim and read out of a book and proclaim it to be truth to the world, that is foolishness. To a non-believer, that is foolishness. But guess what? But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Now that's power. That's real power. I've thought about this a whole lot. Thinking about the reality of heaven and hell. You know, sometimes people might get in their mind and they could say, you know what, is this even real? Is this all this real? Is this some facade? Or is it going to be at the end of time or the end of my life that I just die like the non-believer says and I'm just going to go on the ground to never be anymore and all this time was wasted and it could have been spent doing something else or whatever. But let me tell you something. God has done too much in my heart and in my life to believe this thing isn't real. And to believe that He's not coming back. Everything else He said has come to be. We've come too far now to turn back. I think, Brother Nate, there's a song that says that. We've come too far now. Are you running a good race? But you think about that. I told Brandy this week, we're talking about things along these lines. I said, Brandy, the Lord has been too good to me for me to turn my back on Him. He has made Himself too real to me to not believe every word that's in that Bible. I don't understand it all, but I believe it by faith because I trust Him. I trust in my Savior this morning. Look what He says here. He takes people like you and me. He takes a sorry man that wants to choose his own career and he wants to convert somebody. And it says here, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I want to tell you this morning, if you've got all your faith, all your hope, and all your confidence in just worldly or secular education, you're going to miss it. The Bible says right here that the Lord who is going to place those in derision. You'll see, I'm not going there this morning, but in another message, they'll place those people in derision. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring unto nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You imagine one day standing before Christ, standing before Him and thinking about all the things that you thought mattered in this life. And in that moment you realize what really matters. A relationship with Him. Simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That's the most important thing. And God promised us if we would put that first, He would take care of everything else. That's an amazing promise. In verse number 21, it says here, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that something? This is how it happens. This is how God works. If you're seeking Him, you're in the right place. This is how He works. Guided by the Spirit of God, led by the Word of God, helped out and explained and showed by the man of God. That's how He chose it to be, the foolishness of preaching. Isn't that something? But wait, there's more. It keeps going on. And He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? He wanted some help. It's okay to ask for help. You know how many times I've asked for help and continue to ask for help when I don't understand something? Lord, help me. Reach out to somebody. Say, Lord, help me. And a friend, say, help me. I need some help understanding this. Can you help me? Yes, amen. A true man of God, that's what he's been called to do. And I don't think I have to say it here, but I said man of God, and I think you know what I'm talking about if you've been watching the news anytime this week. I'll tell you what, it's amazing how the world has perverted God's word, but let me tell you, it's not up for argument. It's forever settled. You can believe whatever you want to, but you can't change the word of God. And that's what we're going to be judged by. That's the accountability that we're going to be held by. But we see here also, verse 32, Philip understood and where he was coming from. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led by, as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened not he his mouth. And his humiliation and his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. You see here, verse 34, the eunuch had some questions. If you're reading the Bible, this happens to me. This happens to you. You got to think and slow down when you're reading it. who is doing the talking? Who are they talking about? And who is this written to? There's things that you'll read in the Word of God that's not written to you and I, the Gentile, that was written to the Jew. There's things that's written to you and I that's not written to them. You got to slow down and understand the context. You see, this is where the eunuch was at. Remember, I don't know what all he heard down in Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what was on his thought process, but the Lord, the Spirit of God, placed these scriptures in front of him. Isaiah chapter number 53. And this is what he asked here. This was the question. He said, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? See, he had a question. He said, I don't understand what I'm reading here. Is Isaiah talking about himself? Is it him that is experiencing these things? Isaiah, if you remember, he's a prophet. He was telling about something that was to come to pass, something that was going to be. But the eunuch, as he was reading this, he was trying to figure out, what does this mean? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? Somebody else. Who could that somebody else be? If you go back and you look at Isaiah chapter number 53, if you don't have this highlighted, it would be good for you to highlight this in some way in your Bible. This is talking about the suffering and the triumph of the servant. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about this morning. If you're trying to understand about salvation, I want you to understand what Jesus did for you. Who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And guess what? See, that's exactly what he was reading. And guess what? Somebody said, do you understand what you're reading? Right on time. Is that not amazing? Think about that, church. That's how it happened. You think about the way this was being read out. By the way, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading this, and the Lord said, he's starting to get it, and he needs some help! Exclamation point. That's when the Lord shows up. And you see right about this time is when he shows up, and you see verse number 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Whom shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Boy, that'd get my attention. That's saying this person was killed for the transgression of my people, for the wrong that we've done. This man was killed. Was it Isaiah? That was the question. Was it Isaiah? No, it's somebody way more important than that. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. This man was perfect. He did nothing wrong. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God the Father, he knows the price of sin. The penalty of sin is death. But he loved us. He loves us so much. He was willing to send his son to a cross so you and I wouldn't have to go. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? If he shall bear their iniquities, if he will go to the cross and die for their sin, he will prevail many. He will prolong their days for many. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him in a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You see here, Ethiopian eunuch, he said, I want to know who that man is. Who is that? Is Isaiah talking about himself? If so, I want to know more about that. But he wanted to know more about that man. You see, that's the question. That's the question. And you see, that's how it came down here. Let's read this again. Back in Acts 8, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was stricken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh thou the prophet, of himself or another man? Verse 35, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Isn't Jesus awesome? It's okay to get excited about him. Don't get excited about me. Get excited about him. See, that's what it's all about. Have you lost that excitement? Have you ever had that excitement? Think about Jesus and what all he's done for us. What all he's going to do for us. I think sometimes after all that's happened last year and the years before that, it's almost like we're just kind of talking down and out. But guess what? It only means we're getting closer. We're getting close to the finish line. God hadn't granted us the ability to do that, and I'm glad he has it. But I'm telling you, the race we're running, if we could see, I think we could see the finish line this morning. I want you to know that. And all because of Jesus. Has Jesus been good to you? Has he done anything for you? I think about the night that he saved me. I thank God that I can go back to a time and a place. I know what it was like to think I got it because I did what other people were doing. I went through the motions ignorantly. I didn't know any better. A few years later, when I accepted Christ, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I accepted him, and that has changed my life. I've not been perfect, and I know that I've been a failure. I'll go as far as to say I've been a failure for Christ. I know that. But in his mercy, he allows us to keep going on. Isn't that something? That's enough to shout about right there. If we got what we deserve, none of us would be here this morning. But he said, you got another chance. You got another chance. Every day that you have breath, he gives you another chance, and that is nothing short of his mercy. I want to tell you something. The eunuch was excited. See, they're riding down the road at this point. You see, Philip hopped up in the chariot, and they're riding down the road having this revival. That's a good time. Ain't a thing wrong with that. But you still see the Spirit of God leading the man of God with the Word of God. You see those three things here. And you look at verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? See, they've been talking. The eunuch was asking the right questions. Philip was giving him the right answers. He's talking to him about the need to be baptized or the desire to be baptized. Isn't that something? If you've accepted Christ, you should have a desire to be baptized and follow him. That's why I'm a Baptist. You think about that, there's two ordinances in the Baptist faith. That's the Lord's Supper. Talked about this a few times, the Lord's Supper, that we show his death, burial, and resurrection until he come in remembrance of me, as you see on the front of our table, in remembrance of me. Do as oft as you will in remembrance of me. That's what that's for. You know, when a believer is converted, then seeks baptism, that's what it's about. Showing the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what that's about. And you see, what I want us to see this right here. Verse 36 leads up to a very pivotal verse in the Bible. And I find this very interesting here, and I learned this some time back. But this verse, number 38, if you have an NIV Bible, you don't have that verse in there. Why would you take that out? Why would you take that out? If you have the true Word of God this morning, you better say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have the truth, that I know the truth. I have the Word of God. My Bible, no secret, King James Bible, this is what it says right here. Look what Philip responds to. He didn't get the cart before the horse. If you slow down just a little bit, what happened back before this, Philip was dealing with a man named Simon of Syria. He was a sorcerer. And he saw the power that these men had and what they could do, how they could cast out devils. And you know what Simon wanted to do? He said, I'll buy it off of you. You know, the apostle said, it ain't for sale. It don't work quite that way. He said, I'll be saved in everything if I can do that. Baptize me in everything if I can do that. So that's not how it works. Simon had gain in his mind. Simon had an ulterior motive. He didn't have the true calling of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that tell you? It tells you baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't. But look what Philip says right here. He wanted to be cautious in his response. You learn things throughout the ministry. You learn things. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You know what he was telling Brother Terry? He said, I want you to understand something here. Mr. Eunuch, I want you to understand something. I can take you out here, and I can put you under the water, and you'll come out the exact same way you went in. Because it's not by baptism. He said, now, if you believest with all your heart, I will happily do it. I've had people come to me before saying, will you baptize me? I said, I need to know more than that. Well, I believe that you're saved by baptism. No, no, no. If it's that simple, we'd dunk everybody, right? Your salvation is a conscious choice that you make for Christ. A child can't make that decision. The child has no knowledge of that decision. It doesn't happen that way. You will never find an instance in the Word of God that a baptism of a child took place and that person was saved. You'll never find it. I think sometimes, and I know people get hung up on denomination or whatever. This morning, I want you to know, I'm just following the Word of God, what the Word of God says. It just so happens we're Baptists because I'm a Baptist because that's what the Word of God says to do. To baptize after this, to show that. You say, really? What authority do you say that? If you say that it doesn't have that type of meaning, prove it to me. Prove it to me. I want to read something to you out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 18 through 21. This gives the definition of what baptism is. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. This picks up right where Isaiah 53 left off. It gives that definition to us again. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, Jesus Christ, for the unjust, you and me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He died in his body, brought back to life by the Spirit. God gave him the authority and the power to do that. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. When he died, when Jesus Christ died, and his body and his spirit went down into paradise at that time, before souls went to heaven, he went to paradise. Man, you talk about a revival. He went down there and he led captivity away captive. He said, you know what? I'm going to preach to you because I know you believe in me. And I'm taking you home with me. I'm not going to leave you here. And that's when you see the first saints going up into heaven. Which sometime were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. You see, he's giving this example here. This illustration, verse 21. The like figure. That means here, this is the illustration, the like figure. This is being like. What the flood represents, this is saying baptism is here. It says, the like figure, wherein to even baptism doth also now save us. Look what it says in parentheses. When you see something in parentheses, that means to really pay attention to what it's saying. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's saying your baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't put the filth of the flesh away. That's what the Word of God says this morning. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's what it is. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see, that's what he wanted the Ethiopian eunuch to realize and to understand. Said, hey, we're not going down into the water until you believe. That's the most important thing. That's what you have to have. If you want to accept Christ, you have to do it by faith and believing in him. And we go on. I'm going to close here in just a minute. I know I've kept you a little while. I wanted to get this out this morning. And what he said here, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I want to ask you something. I want you to think about this. We read this account here. We see what happens here in the Word of God. I ask this humbly, and I ask it respectfully. Now, if you go back and you read this, or if you, maybe, let's say one day in heaven, we get to meet the eunuch. You say, eunuch, I read about your testimony. I read about how you accepted Christ, but I want to hear it from you. Could you tell me about the day you got saved? What do you think he would say? What do you think he would say? Do you think he'd say, Jason, I don't know, it was sometime between here and here, I don't know exactly. Or do you think he'd take me back to that chariot? He'd say, Jason, I can take you right back where I accepted it. I can take you back to a time and a place. Guess what? I don't even know the date. But he can take me back to a time and a place. See, that's how the Word of God works. That's how God works. I want to ask you this. This isn't the title, but I want to ask you this morning. Do you have a time and a place? I'm not asking for a date, but do you have a time in a place that you're willing to stake all your life on, that when Satan tries to buffet you, that you can give that to him and say, Satan, it's right here. You can do what you will, but it's right here. And one day when you face heaven, whether that be by the grave or by rapture, you face heaven, and the Lord says, by what authority are you here? You say, because I met you right here. On this time and this place, I can take it right back here. Church, won't you know I'm staking everything on it? Staking everything on that. I told Brandy, I said, you know, I don't know. I said, the day might come that somebody might try to steal it from me. But as it stands right now, nobody can take it. That's my time and that's my place. That's how God works. I think he gives us that assurance. You could go on and read in the little Gospels of John that those things were written, that ye shall know that you have eternal life. Isn't that good? I don't want anybody leaving. If you will, stand with me this morning. I don't want anybody leaving this morning wondering. I don't want anybody leaving this morning. Am I saved or am I not? The Bible teaches us that we can know. You see what happened here? The Ethiopian eunuch asked the ladies to come. The Ethiopian eunuch, he had questions. The Spirit of God led the man of God with the Word of God to help him to answer those questions. And he led him and he showed him, and the man of God preached unto him Jesus. He showed him, he said, listen, you have to know Jesus. This is the importance of knowing Jesus. What he said in these verses, I don't know exactly what all he said. I know they read from Isaiah 53, but he was telling him who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross. He's reminding him that, hey, the only way you're going to get to heaven is by your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven that you're given, but whereby